Anybody got anything you want to say? I appreciate you being here in the class. It's good to see you. If you will, turn to Galatians chapter 1. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for dying for us and paying for our sins that by putting our faith and trust in what the Lord did at Calvary. We have eternal life with you, and we have the promise of this in your word. And Father, we ask you this morning to lead us by your Spirit and build us up in the faith, and let us be attentive to your word, and let us not be concerned about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we continue especially to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them and to comfort them and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself and the class. In the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I don't know where Russell and Dot are this morning, but they've both been bedridden with this flu mess that's going around. There's a lot of it going around. And I know they were bedridden Monday with this stuff. And I understand the whole bunch of them had it. Matthew, y'all remember Matthew, he had it. So I don't know if they're still trying to recover from it or not, but y'all pray for these people that are sick. Okay, in Galatians chapter 1, I want to reiterate some things and go over some things like maybe a review of the Bible this morning. In Galatians chapter 1, let's start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. In other words, Paul was not chosen by the 11 apostles to be an apostle. He was chosen. Well, I tell you what, Duke, hold your place here and go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Because this is going to be important when you follow the apostle Paul. You will understand why we preach to follow Paul. But we follow Paul as Paul followed Christ. We're not worshiping Paul, but we worship in the God that he follows, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, in Acts chapter 1, there are 11 apostles there. Judas Iscariot went and hung himself, and you can find that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. Judas went and hung himself. He betrayed the Lord, which it was prophesied that he would do so, and he saw that Jesus Christ was an innocent man, and it bothered him, and he went and hung himself. Now, the question is about replacing Judas Iscariot, because there's got to be 12 apostles. You understand? There's 12 tribes of Israel that came out of Egypt back here from Jacob. There are 12 sons back here born in the lineage of Jacob and his wives and their concubines. His wives, I was going to say concubines, but that's not the right word. His wife's maidens. Okay? So there's 12 sons which make the 12 tribes of Israel. You can find that in Genesis 49 when Jacob blesses the 12 sons of Jacob. Now, these people were brought out of bondage from Egypt by Moses. They came out back there. Had they wandered through the wilderness 40 years, God did so to try their hearts whether they really believed what he was doing or not. So they went into total idolatry. Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to train 12 apostles to carry on a ministry. He knew he was going to go to Calvary and be crucified, be buried, and he'd go down into the heart of the earth. He would preach to some people down there, and he would come back up, And then he would, he spent 40 days and 40 nights with these apostles. There's 11 of them in Acts 1. Judas has gone and hung himself. There's got to be 12 because in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, Peter said, "We have forsaken all. What shall we have then?" He said, "You which have followed me in the regeneration, second coming, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Matthew 21, if you please, if you're taking notes. Matthew 21, the kingdom was taken from this bunch of people here. In Exodus 19, God told these people, said, "I choose you because you were the fewest of all people to be a people unto me, and you shall be a holy nation and a royal priesthood if you keep my commandments and do what I tell you and obey my voice." Do y'all know whose voice that was in the angel? It was God's voice. When God talked to Moses out of the burning bush, it was God's voice. It was his angel. It's going to be important when we get back to Galatians here. So these men here, Judas is gone. So there are not but 11 of them. There's got to be 12. There's got to be. So in Acts 1, where we're at, they are considering replacing Judas. Now, Acts chapter 1. Let's go to verse. I'm just going to break into contact. Let's go to verse 15. I may have to skip a little of it, but let's go to verse 15. "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David, which by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." Well, I know Judas had the power to heal. Now, and Jesus Christ called him a devil. He said in John, "Have not I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He was talking about Judas Iscariot. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 18. "Now this man," Judas, the one that betrayed him, "now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch as the field is called in the proper tongue, Alsodamia, that is to say, the field of blood." In other words, that's known today as Potter's Field. Y'all know where Potter's Field was in Mobile, Alabama? Y'all got any idea where it was? You know where the police training academy is? On Virginia Street? That's exactly where Potter's Field was. Y'all remember Hartwell Field? Hartwell Field was right in front of my grandma's house. Right side of Pulley Works. Behind Hartwell Field was Potter's Field.
I see a bunch of Greek
graves
in there.
Sir?
I see a bunch of Greek graves in there.
Yeah. There's a bunch of horses in there and all that. They do kind of training things in there for the police academy. I used to play in Potter's Field, and they didn't waste no time going 6 foot deep. They didn't waste no time with no vaults. They were wooden boxes. You know who you know? Y'all know who they put in Potter's Field? The people that had nobody to bury them. Hobos, transients, whatever you want to call them. Street people. I'd go out, y'all, and we'd be walking out in them in the marshy ground, and they're damp and wet, and we'd fall through one of them. And you know us youngins, we're scared. We'd run home. No. We'd down there digging. What in the world? Find bones and stuff like that in there. potter's field. That's what the field of blood is. Potter's field. So Judas Iscariot, he took the 30 pieces of silver back to them people that he had told who Jesus was, and he betrayed him with a kiss. I bet y'all don't pay no attention to these mafia movies, do you? Kiss of death. Mafia man comes in, he's got somebody marked that somebody's got to kill, and he already told him, said, the one I kiss, that's one I want you to eliminate. Get him out of here, we don't need him. One up there and hug him like he loves him and kisses him, and the next thing you know, that he's gone. That's what Judas Iscariot did with Jesus Christ. He said, betrayest me with a kiss? Now, this man's got to be replaced. So here he is. We're talking about him here. Verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. You'll find that in Psalm 69. Let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men... Now that don't mean, sorry ladies, that don't mean men and women. That means men. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us, these apostles, and in Luke chapter 6, out of his disciples, he chose 12 and named them apostles. There were more than 12 disciples. But out of those disciples, from the baptism of John until his ascension up, must one be to be ordained to take Judas Iscariot's place. All you've got to do is think why we went here. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, parentheses, not of men, neither by man. You see, they say these people back here in Acts 1 were disobedient. And they chose somebody, and they should have chose Paul. Paul is impossible. Yeah. You're listening to me. Paul is impossible to be qualified to be one of the 12, although he was a Jew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. But you get over here into Romans to Philemon, and you find Paul writing in the book of Philemon. He said, all of those credentials I had, I counted but dung. You know what you do with dung? Get it out of here. And if you don't know what dung is, I suggest you study the wanderings of the children of Israel. 40 years, God told them, said, clean up your dung when you leave here, don't. Y'all study for yourself. Verse 21, Acts 1:21. Wherefore of these men which were accompanied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. Now, let me ask you something. Out of your Bible knowledge, have you ever seen where the Apostle Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ from the baptism of John? In the 1611 King James Bible. No. You won't find it. He was persecuting these people. He was a blasphemer. He spoke against the Holy Spirit in Acts 7 and Acts 8. He consented unto Stephen's death. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul spoke against it. And according to Jesus' own words in Matthew 12, he could not be saved under the gospel of the kingdom because he was a blasphemer. He couldn't be saved here nor over here out of the tribulation period over here. We're already gone before this time. Don't worry about it over there. Study it, but don't worry about it. Don't pay no attention to Hagee and Van Ampey and them people like that just got you over here in the book of Revelations. The last time I've listened to Van Ampey, he's got us in about the first four chapters over here in Revelation. And I'm going to show you, according to Galatians chapter 1, that that ain't right. Now, Acts 1, verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John until this same day. Here's the day, Acts 1. They're discussing who to put in there. Verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John of this same day that he was taken up from us, Jesus Christ, taken up, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas. Now there's more than two there, you understand. There's a bunch of disciples there. And they had followed Jesus from this point here until he ascended up. They appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, let us make a good choice here. Don't let us choose the wrong man. Are you listening? That's what the world says. They made a bad choice. They should have chose Paul. Paul should have been the 12th apostle. Not so, buddy. It can't be. Now watch what their prayer is. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, look, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Who was the man that chose the replacement for Judas Iscariot? I don't care who he is, but who chose him?
The Lord
did. Now watch what they did. And a lot of people call this a rolling high dice. Y'all ever rolled high dice? Y'all ever been in a sandlot ball game or something and try to figure out who's going to bat first, what team is? You know how they used to do it?
Choking.
Y'all got any idea how to? I bet that man do. They'd take a bat.
Yeah.
Up toward the handle. Whoever had the last grip, that's the team that went first. Rolling high dice, in other words. And that's what people say they did. And now watch what they did. Verse 25. That he may, this one that God chose, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, Galatians chapter 1. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. You know what he is called in the book of John? The son of perdition. And do you know what? The church, the body of Christ, is now withholding him from coming up and being revealed. He's called in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, the son of perdition cannot be revealed until he is taken out of the way. And God made one new man of two groups of people. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15, of the twain, Jew and Gentile in one body. These Gentiles here, they're not in the covenants of promise. Now in the same body with these, spiritually blessed, all spiritual blessings. These people here lose their Jewish identity. These people here, according to Romans 2:17, he said, you are called Jews. He didn't say they were Jews. He's talking to Gentiles, and he said, you are called Jews and rest in the law. They sure did. How come they were in the law? I'm going to talk to him. I hope I ain't spinning wheels in vain. Where did Paul go to? In the book of Acts, where did Paul go to? In the synagogue. There's Jews, Gentile proselytes, and Gentiles that are in the synagogue. You know why they were in there and how they got in there? By the covenant promises of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. These people here blessed the seed of Abraham. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They put themselves under the Mosaic law. Paul went in and preached to them in Acts chapter 13, verse 38. He said, you cannot be saved by the law of Moses. He preached to them the Lord Jesus Christ, by how you can be saved, which you cannot be justified by keeping the law. You know, I have to stop. Keep catch my breath every now and then. What is the world trying to get people to do? Keep the law, keep the commandments, and God will love you, and God will save you. No way, beloved. God Almighty said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul, the greatest man since the Lord Jesus Christ, was struck down on the road to Damascus, and y'all should have been there and heard the preacher from North Carolina explain how that man was just beat down to the ground, a murderer, a blasphemer, and God saved him right there on the road to Damascus. You know what he was doing? He was going to Damascus and Jerusalem. Anybody that believed this away back here, he was consenting unto their death. He was binding them, men and women, bringing them to prison because they believed in the name of Jesus Christ back here. They believed this was the Messiah that was to come, that Moses told them about. Paul got saved as a blasphemer. Praise God for the appointment of Paul to the apostleship. But it ain't by man. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And I believe his spirit is down there right now, waiting to come into a man that's going to be operating in the spirit of Satan, and he'll be called the son of perdition. He's in his place right now, waiting on this body to get out of here so he can go back to fooling Israel again. And right in the middle of the 7 years, he's going to cause the oblation and the sacrifice. They're going to start making sacrifices again. You find that in Daniel chapter 9. He said right in the middle of it, he's going to cause the sacrifices and the oblations to cease. People never studied their Bible with any learning, you know why? They did like I used to do. I was raised in a grace church, as it was. Paul's epistle, his gospel, not rightly divided. And I would read a verse, and I would read that verse as it has been told me that's what it meant. And I met a man. He told me, he said, don't do that. He said, what does that verse say? I'd read it. And when I'm reading it, I can see it in my mind as it was interpreted to me. He said, quit that. Don't do that. He said, that's wrong. He said, don't interpret the verse. Believe the verse means what it says. And Joe, that used to come here, our buddy that worked at Scott out there, he went back and forth this class as long as he could. He had a stroke, and I don't reckon he's able to come no more. But while he was working, he'd go back to work, and I showed him Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, make all men see the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. He'd come back, and he said, I can't make them believe it. I said, Joe, open your Bible, read me the verse. Make all men see that. He'd read it, just like he would. He said, I can't make them see. I said, Joe, read it again. I said, Joe, I ain't heard you say believe in the verse. It ain't there. Make them see it. Listen, I can make you see there's a division in here, but I can't make you believe it because you're looking at a dude that had it pulled on him one night. And I won't never forget it when I saw it. Several weeks after that man tried to make me believe it, I saw it back there, but I didn't believe it because I saw my interpretation of who these people were. It was Jew and Gentile over here. But I didn't know and didn't believe Romans chapter 12, verse 5. These here had already been in a body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. By one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Me and you ain't there. Me and you don't come until after Paul preaches the mystery of the gospel. Not the mystery which is the gospel, but the mystery of the gospel. Now, verse 26, and then we're going to go back to Galatians 1. And they gave forth their lots. Well, that's where people say they rolled high dice. I don't know what they did. They'd already prayed and asked God to tell them which one he had chosen. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So from here to Acts 15, you've got 12 apostles that are trying to carry on a ministry. But when Paul went up there in Acts chapter 15, he told them people, he went up to Jerusalem to a council over there, and Peter, James, and John, the spokesman for these people, gave right hands to Paul and Barnabas and said, we will go into the circumcision, which is a reference to Israel, and you unto the heathen. That's us. Oh, sorry, low down heathens that God loved before. He didn't choose Israel before the foundation of the world. He chose Israel after the foundation of the world to be his people. Well, I'll tell you what, dude. Hold Galatians and go to Deuteronomy 7. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. God's dealing with Moses, and he's telling them about seven nations he's going to destroy for their sakes. In verse 6, for time's sake, for thou art an unholy people unto the Lord thy God. This is Israel. It came out of bondage. Moses led them out of Egypt. Verse 6, for thou art an unholy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people. That art upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number. Hold forth right there. Now listen to me. Don't you worry about somebody saying, well, y'all ain't got but 10 or 12 people in y'all's class, and you have to borrow somebody's office building, or you have to meet under an oak tree, or get you an umbrella and stand out in the rain to have a Bible study class. We got this multi-million dollar sanctuary here. God's in it. Maybe a God in it. Maybe not the God. You understand? Why did God choose Israel? Watch what he tells them. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Huh? The fewest? Praise God, we're the fewest of all. I'm scared of numbers. You know they say rules? Majority rules. Majority may rule, but that don't mean majority is right. You understand? If you go back to Ecclesiastes, there's a thing back there. There was a still bitty small city back there. It was under the siege, and there was a old man back there. I'm paraphrasing, but it's in Ecclesiastes, you can find it. And he went and saved that city. And the people were rejoiced and all, but the little old man was soon forgotten. Now I think about Paul. You know what Paul in a Gentile name is? What it means? Little. Little. Paul, a little old blasphemous Jew. And God chose him and said, this is my man to stand in the gap. God Almighty ushered in a gap between this and this over here. When we're gone out of the way, and you can bank on it, don't care whether you believe it or not, or like it or not, but when we're gone, this right over here will come right back over here, and just like it never stopped. Mm-hmm. And there's gospel of the kingdom will be carried on over here. Now go back to Galatians. With all of that, go back to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul an apostle, not of men. You know why he put that parenthesis there? It's to catch your eye. You ladies that type, I typed up something over here the other day and it took me 2.5 days to do about 10 minutes worth of typing. But I did it. I never took typing in school.
You were a typewriter.
I ain't going to tell you how many in the garden hit the wrong. My daughter's typewriter and some of them keys are so sensitive. And my old big old fans, they clumsy anyhow. I'd hit a key and that thing would ding 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 run high across the paper and get the finger off. There's a lot of them short off. Now, this thing here, these parentheses, when you're writing out something and you want to express something in the middle of a sentence, you put in the parentheses around it and it catches your eye. Pay attention to this, what's in this parentheses. It means something. Just like in Romans chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Context. And then right in the middle of context, a couple parentheses. We walk by faith, not by sight. God put it right there so you'd see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't have to drive up to some kind of $20 million building to say, oh, this is our great tabernacle here where we can come and the Lord's house and worship God. I thank God we got these facilities there. They don't cost us one dime. Been since 1992, ain't cost us one red dime. You can't beat that. Them people, some of them sitting out there, and I know a man that goes to one of them out there, and they was giving their life savings to one of them things. This man's dead now. He didn't have hardly enough money to eat off of, but he was pouring it into that religious system. I praise God for these facilities, don't y'all?
Amen.
It's comfortable. If it rains out there, the roof don't leak. The roof leaks, company fixed it. And they did, they put a new roof on this thing. Air conditioning break down, we don't have to worry about it. They fix it. Can't beat it. Now watch what he says. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Did Jesus Christ give himself for your sins?
Amen.
Well, why in the name of all that's decent would you allow somebody to tell you that you now need to repent of your sins when God Almighty just showed you that Jesus Christ was given for your sins? All of them. Colossians 2:13, look at it if you please. Turn there. It's just a couple pages over. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh.
Where you go?
Colossians 2:13. I give y'all a bad run? I'm out to. I make mistakes. I'm just like y'all. Well, I'm sorry. I know y'all make mistakes. But I do make mistakes. I don't lie too much. But I do lie. You back me in a corner, I lie. And I don't, but I don't doubt you will too. You get back in that. Oh, no, officer, I wasn't speeding. That was that dude that. All the time, you know, and you was one that's speeding. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you some trespasses. All is what?
All
of y'all in this building?
Yeah.
And one of y'all outside? No, you're all in here, ain't you? Mm-hmm. All is all. How many sins did he forgive you? Your trespasses and all. All of them. Well, why would you go to a man, pay a man to say, well, I need to confess my sins now, you need to help me. And he tell you, well, you need to go home and do this and do that, and then stop this and come up Lent here. Now you need to give up eating bananas. Or... come on. Doc, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've been in it. Did it do you any good?
No.
You know what my Catholic buddies used to do? And I went to school with a bunch of them. They'd go to confession and confess something, and they'd tell me what they told that priest back there or whatever he was behind that thing. And you know what got me? As soon as they got out of there, doing the same stinking thing.
They knew they could go back.
It's sad.
Of course, I used to always have a fear that before I got back to that confession, I was going to die. That's what I always feared.
Well, you see, you take 1 John 1:9. If.
Right.
If we confess our sins. What if you forget one? You know what James said? You're offending one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. Back here, to Moses and the children of Israel, through angels, was given the law, and there's 600 and some odd laws back here, and you offend in one point, you're guilty of all of them. So if you've lied, you are going to hell, according to their doctrine, unless you confess it. Well, what if you died? What if you're driving down the road and somebody cut you off and you cursed that person whom Christ died for, whom God made in the likeness of His Son? What if you did that and you got killed in that car wreck before you confessed it? I had a Church of Christ friend of mine who lived crossroads. The old man did. Now he's probably burning in hell. Believing the doctrine that he did, he is. But I'm sorry about that. I tried to show him the truth, and he rejected it. I asked him, I said, and his name was Smith, Mr. Smith, I said, if you get out here on the road today and run a stop sign and get killed, what's going to happen to you? He said, I'm going to go to hell. Come on, man. Show me in this Bible where God Almighty said, if you do this and die, you're going to go to hell. Would you? How many trespasses did God forgive us?
Oh,
when did He forgive them to us? While we were dead in our sins. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4. Who gave Himself for our sins. Well, beloved, He either gave Himself for all of our sins. What did He say? Well, Mr. Peters, I'm going to forgive you for this one, but you got to do so many repentant things for this one over here. And well, I can't forgive you for this one here because it's unforgivable. Well, I'm in a heck of a mess. The world's in a mess, beloved. Believing they're safe from dying and going to hell, they are in a mess. And it's a religious system which is called the mystery of iniquity that's already working until we, the Church of Body of Christ, be taken out of here. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 4. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. What did you read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13? Would you please tell me? Well, I've done. If you can't tell me, let's look at it again. Whole Galatians. What did He do? He hath quickened us. You all know what the word quickened means? It means made alive. He hath quickened us together with Him. Look at it. For the last part, hath He quickened together with Him. When was Jesus Christ quickened from the dead? A.D. 33. Before we were ever born, based on God's foreknowledge, knowing that when you heard the gospel of Christ, that Christ had died for your sins, you would trust that and believe that He resurrected you together with Christ. Now you got to think about this a little bit. Here's the head. What did Jesus Christ tell them apostles after his resurrection? He said, come touch me. Feel the holes in my hand and my side. And he said, they thought he was a spirit. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone. He didn't say blood. You know why? He shed his blood for my sins. He came up without blood. Adam laying on the ground down here. God took the dirt, made a man. He's laying there. He ain't got no life in him. But there's that man. You know what God did? Breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. When you get sick and go to the doc, what's the first thing they do? Well, you got to go by the lab down there. They got to draw out this blood. And you, man, I ain't got too much left. Hold up here now. But they draw out your blood to see what's the matter with you. When Adam disobeyed God, he took blood poison. I believe Adam had crystal clear liquid in his veins. No blood. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, no blood. Paul told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And then he said, he goes on to talk about this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And you drain your blood out and you ain't going to live. Just don't live long. You're going to die. First thing that's going to die is your brain. You know why? Blood takes oxygen to the brain. The first thing is going to die. Got a dear friend of mine, been knowing him for years. He's in such a little nursing home. They're expecting him to die just any minute. He has not eaten or drunk anything. We got problems. All right.
Keep going.
He's not eating anything for about 3 weeks, and they're waiting on him to pass. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr.
All right, in Galatians chapter 1 now. Go back there. Verse 4. Who? Reference to Jesus Christ. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Well, is it the will of God that Jesus Christ die for all your sins? Was it? You know what Jesus Christ said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10? He said, I come to do thy will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. What Jesus Christ come to do? He come to die. He said, for this hour came I into the world. He come to die. When he died and shed his blood, he paid for all the sins of his body. When the head was resurrected, the body was resurrected. And that's a poor body, but you get the picture. He didn't just resurrect the head, the whole body. We are his body. So when God Almighty resurrected his body, he proved to you and me that he had forgiven me all my sins. In Romans chapter 5 verse 11 is very clear. We have now received the atonement. And do you know what the world wants to do and Satan does in his new translations? Changes that to reconciliation. No, all the world's been reconciled to God, but all the world ain't received the atonement.
Amen.
Only saved people that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, the atonement is put to your account. Right. So God Almighty could resurrect you with him. If he hadn't have put the blood to your account, he could not have resurrected you. Israel is not resurrected. They ain't. I'll quit again. Y'all know what John 3:13 says. And people don't like this, but I've got to tell you the truth about it. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Well, has there not anybody died for from this time back to the beginning, Jesus Christ, he don't lie. It's in red letter, boy, it's official. Did he say no man hath ascended up to heaven?
Right.
Well, where are them people at?
In the earth.
You know why they couldn't go to heaven? They have not received the atonement yet. They won't receive the atonement until the second coming. The church, the body of Christ, has now received the atonement, so he resurrected the body. We ain't here spiritually. Spiritually, we are above all heavens. That's why I'm waiting, according to Philippians, on God to come change my vile body. I'm still living in a body that desires this, loves to do that. Sometimes I don't feel like going to classes. Sometimes I don't feel like tearing my body down. And this man will tell you the same thing. It ain't fun to leave North Alabama at 10 o'clock. Well, we left a little early last night. We got through early last night. We left about 9 o'clock and drive 5.5-6 hours to get back to this class. I'd just rather stay up and just relax, but I know I need to be here, and that's why I appreciate you coming. Whenever you come, I appreciate it. You understand? Without you, there is no class. And if you could get this truth in your corner sanctuary, I'd tell you to go there. I'd tell you to quit driving so far to get here. This man, he drives, what, about 45 miles?
About 35.
35? To get here. It was Sunday. That he's able. The rest of y'all drive a pretty good distance, a lot of you, to get here. This lady drives, what, about 50?
60.
60? To get here. I appreciate that. I appreciate your desire to want to learn what God has in store for you. And I can't tell you. You know, I think about old Apostle Paul when he said he was caught up into paradise. And he heard things which is unlawful to utter. And I know exactly why Paul wrote Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Listen, if to die, and that's all of there is to it, that ain't gain. To die without a Savior is a loss. You've lost your eternal life in heaven and gained eternal life in a fire that is never quenched. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus Christ told you, where the worm dieth not. I learned how to dig worms accidentally. Monday in my mom's house was always wash day. And if we weren't in school, we was the folks that had to draw the water. And I went up. We had an electric pump. Pump it up. And mama, she made me so mad. Got them 55-gallon galvanized tubs. She'd rinse them here and rinse them here. She didn't want one rinse. She wanted two. This one over here had bluing in it. Y'all know what bluing is?
Yeah.
Mr. Hill. You know what bluing is? It comes in a little bottle. It's like a bleach. They called it bluing, and it is blue. You pour it in this bucket. Well, when Mama got to that bucket, this bucket, first one over here, better be dumped out and fresh water put in, because she's coming back and doing it over again. I used to get some in, but I dumped that, and by the time this one got done, it had a lot of soap in it. I pour that stuff out on the grass, and I look after it, and pour them worms, and they are with me. And I think about that right now when I read Mark chapter 9. That worm down there in that fire, and he's scringing and trying to get away from it, and he can't. I bleach my sidewalk and stuff every now and then, and around the edges of where that Clorox gets off down in there. Them old worms will come out, and that stuff just eating on them. Think about Mark chapter 9. In the fire, where the worm dies not, and it's not quenched, and you can't even get one drop of water. One drop of water. And I know what you do when you want water. I know what I've done. I've been in the woods, it'd be so hot. Come up on a little mud hole, big tadpoles in it, and I want water. I'd take my hand and I'd skeet them tadpoles out with them, boy, I'd turn up and get me a drink of water. Y'all ain't never had to do that, have you? They go to the refrigerator. These youngers, they don't know what a hard time they have. I'm glad they don't. Glad they don't. Glad they got it good. Now watch what he says there, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who, reference to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. Go over to old Galatians 1 and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in the Mosaic law and keeping the commandments. Where's your eternal life at? It's in Christ. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, Paul acknowledged the truth. Paul, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He said, "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." God, Paul has got a purpose. I have a purpose to try to show people salvation is free. It's a free gift. You cannot earn it. You don't deserve it. I still don't deserve it, but I've got it. And I can't lose it. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. God will not deny me. I may deny him, but he can't deny me. You know why? I'm in him. And if I'm in him, where am I at? I'm above all heavens, beloved. What's he going to do? Say, "Well, that sore rascal down there, he done it now. I'm going to have to kick him out of heaven." And here I come tumbling out. Oh, come on, that don't even make sense. That don't even make sense. When the Holy Spirit baptized you into this body and sealed you, you can't get out of it. Anybody in their right mind wouldn't want to know how. Who in the dickens wants to go into tribulation? Got to be a nut. You know what Paul told us in Galatians chapter 5? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know why you don't do the things that pleases God? Sometimes our mamas and daddies and our children get mad at us sometimes. You know why? We're in the flesh. But spiritually, I ain't here. I'm there. So I don't go around. I go around like this, looking up. For my conversation is in heaven. For once I look for the Savior, he ain't coming up. He's coming down to get me at the rapture. When the last person that God Almighty knew before the foundation of the world will trust that Jesus Christ died for their sins, when they trust that and believe that, Holy Spirit baptizes them into the body. The body's full. Ain't no more need for us to stay here. He can take us out of here. Then he can deal with Israel in the time of her trouble over here. Called the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 31. But he, Jeremiah, said, he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. We're saved from it. Amen. Let somebody tell you, you're going in truth. When you talk to see Jack Van Ampey just yawn real big, he's a real brilliant Bible scholar. But he's got his doctrine just all mixed up. He's got us over here in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Now, we ain't going to get through this morning. Lord willing, we're going to get back on this same subject next Sunday and go back to Galatians 1, because there's something very important you need to see in Galatians chapter 1 from your Apostle Paul that was not chosen by man, but he was chosen by God Almighty. I apologize to you. I said we're through. We ain't. I lied. See, I told you I don't lie much, but just that man I do lie. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 again, and then take 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now look at this right here, and you'll know that in Acts 1, them men did exactly what the will of God was. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Where's your hope at? Your hope in some kind of religious shenanigan or trying to keep the law in the Ten Commandments, and I bet you $500, and I ain't got $500, but if I did, I'd bet you $500 there ain't a person in here that can stand up right now with your Bible closed and tell me all Ten Commandments. Give you $500 if you, I'll borrow it, if you can tell me, if you can tell me five of them without reading them out of your Bible. Tell me five of them and you can't do it. And you read on these bumper stickers, keep the Ten Commandments. You see old Roy Moore, he goes to prison there about it for the Ten Commandments. Hoorah. I'd rather see the man up there fighting and getting in trouble for standing on the 16th King James Bible and what Jesus Christ did for him at Calvary than to worry about Ten Commandments that he don't even know what are and can't keep. You can't do it. Your flesh won't let you. Like Brother Moore used to teach us, he said, you take man and strip him buck naked, put him in a concrete room, shut him up, don't give him nothing, and he'll be sinned before he gets through in them 5 minutes. He'd be an uncommitted sin. The way we are, we're sinful people. But God Almighty loved you while you were yet a sinner, and he saved you by his grace if you're saved. If you ain't saved, you're lost and you're going to hell. That's all there is to it. Appreciate you being here. Good to see you.